Welcome to Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio again with Danya and Beth and Janelle and Tara and myself, Sandy. And wow, the time went so fast last time. We just couldn't hardly believe it. We looked at the clock and it was gone.
It was like, bye.
It was. But it was good. I hope you were able to tune into it. We talked about the levels of persecution and that Jesus, in this passage, is giving us warnings, but he also gives us actions and then a reward for following his actions. And, you know, he always equips us. He says, do not be afraid. And, you know, there's 365 passages in the Bible somewhere that says, do not be afraid. So
I love that.
You should not be afraid.
I love
One
that.
One for every day.
Yep.
Well, I ended last session. What you need to know is we're talking through Jesus is preparing the disciples for his ascension, his burial, death, burial, resurrection, and then ascension. He's getting them ready because it's time for them to carry the good news. And this really is a really important transition time in his ministry. It's an important transition time in the disciples' ministry. And I was talking about how persecution comes in two waves. What are the two waves it comes in? Do you guys remember?
Mm-hmm.
How does it come? Somebody needs to talk.
First one was governments and the religious leaders. So you had said something about the greater view.
Yeah. Okay. The community.
Yeah.
All right. And then what happens?
Second one comes from your family.
Mm. Bloodline.
Bloodline.
Is that crazy?
That is crazy.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah. I don't
it
like that one.
It upsets me. I do not either. But one, I recognize the reality of it. I've lived it.
Mm-hmm.
Two, many years ago, I think it was probably 14, I don't know, when the book first came out. So however long ago it was that Bruce Wilkinson's book, The Dream Giver. If you have not read this book, you have got to read this book. And the wonderful thing about this book is it is actually written in a parable. He actually tells a parable, and then the end of the book, he explains why he wrote the parable. And the parable is about a man called Ordinary that lives in the land of Ordinary, maybe. I may have remembered his name wrong. But in his life, he has been given a feather by the dream giver. And the feather is his call. And the feather, this beautiful white feather, is what he is called to pursue and do. And he begins to tell his family and the people in his community about what the dream giver has put in his hands. And they do everything to keep him from honoring what's been given to him in his hands from the dream giver. And in his book, he calls them the border bullies.
Oh.
They're the ones that want to keep you from going to the places that you've been called to go by the dream giver. It's a beautiful parable that it is the land of Ordinary. And I gotta remember, I can't remember the guy's name, but it's something along those lines. And incredible. And as I was reading this in preparation, I thought, God, I just saw the picture again. And it's been, I don't know, over probably 10 years. It may be even as many as 14 that I read that book. So, but it was like that book just came back to me overwhelming because a story is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And the story is written so well that I saw that story again this morning and how the border bullies can come. Mm-hmm. And that is what he's preparing them for. We all know that all of the disciples, except for John, dies a martyr's death. They try to martyr John, but John ends up dying of natural causes because of everything they've done to him. So really it is a martyr's death, but it's not like an instant death. So when they threw him in the vat of oil, it took time before he died. But all of them were about to face some major border bullies. Whether it was from their family or from the religious or political leaders, you know, don't know which ones were in the crowd. We could pretty much guarantee it was probably all of them. And he's trying to get them ready for it. You got to understand, this is what's coming. Because no matter what you do as a child of God, if we are walking in the will of God, we know that we're going to be persecuted. And I know I heard one time John Piper, he said, in fact, if you are not enduring some sort of persecution, you should be asking yourself, mm-hmm. am I really in the will of God? Mm-hmm. Because, and so often you hear, it's like, oh, you know, we focus in, and part of it is we don't want anyone to think things are going bad. You know, oh, everything's great, it's wonderful, you know. So some of it is almost like we have this Christian mask. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we hide behind this mask of, it's hunky-dory, thank you very much. And God forgive us that I'm the first, I'm just speaking my own sin. that the attack is going to happen, we're guaranteed. And it can come in many forms. And so he wants them to get it down and understand that it's happening, and that's part of it. And so as we are pondering the border bullies, how might they come in our culture today? What might it look like? What are some ways you've seen border bullies through political, religious, or even familial in the circumstances as you go forward? I know we're seeing, did you know Christians are being arrested in America for doing Christian principles? Mm. I mean, that is happening now in America. We are under attack for our Christian beliefs. It's increasing. We've always thought it's not going to happen in America, but it's coming, and it has been happening. And so that's one way.
Well, I thought about, you know, Hobby Lobby.
Yes.
You know, they are definitely being bullied.
Chick-fil-A.
You know, there's just a lot of places Christian that are businesses. Standing up yep. and trying to stand firm, and
right.
the government's kind of not.
Government is saying, no, you can't run your business the right. way you want to. Mm-hmm. That's a border bully.
Well, and it takes the form of, you know, you have to provide these services.
Correct.
You know, it's good for your people. They package it in the way of, okay, this is the good for all of your employees, not just some of them.
Yeah, they label it under equality.
Yeah. There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's one way attack comes, Tanya.
And tolerance. You know, I think that's the big word that's being pushed in, especially in public schools mm-hmm. right
oh.
now.
Oh, yes.
And
be tolerant of everyone but us.
Right.
yeah.
And it's so sad because, I mean, the heart behind it, that, I mean, God's word and his ways, it's because he loves us and mm-hmm. he knows what's best for us. Mm-hmm. And that's where the shrewdness and the fact that we have to be sheep and shrewd comes in. You know, how do we speak the truth in love mm-hmm. to the public? You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm even thinking up close. I was praying this. That's my prayer request this morning. My God, I just need to know how to be wisdom in love.
Right.
I mean, that is what yes. the qualities that I am asking him. Mm-hmm. Just let me be wisdom mm-hmm. in love. Mm-hmm. Whatever that looks like in the circumstance, if it means that I have to strike,
yeah.
then let me strike, but let me strike with wisdom and love. If yeah. it means that I need to be gentle, then let me be wisdom and love in the gentleness and trying to figure that out. And so I was weighing out characteristics, and I just would like for us to, if you were to describe a sheep, what character qualities would you give a sheep? We're going to do it for each of the animals we're supposed to be. What would you describe the character qualities to be?
The sheep?
All right, it's okay. You can say the mate. I know.
Stupid.
Yeah. Dumb. They're not smart.
Not bright.
Which I think is why he gives us the serpent. because sheep really are dumb.
Dependent?
Dependent. Mm-hmm. Good.
They
okay.
need to be led.
Okay.
Yep. Well, they follow.
Yeah,
they follow.
They're followers.
Do sheep know the voice of their shepherd?
Yes.
Yes.
It is. I mean, they know their shepherd's voice. They are loyal. They will follow their shepherd. So even though they're stupid, they may wander, they do know the voice of their shepherd. Okay.
Because we do.
Okay.
We do wander.
Okay. Describe for me the characteristics of a dove, that you would give a dove.
I think a peaceful.
Oh.
A peace.
Pure.
Pure.
Mm-hmm. Graceful.
Okay. Anything else?
Obviously innocent.
Yeah.
Innocent. The reason he uses that example.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about a serpent? And honestly, for me, I hear the word serpent. I just want to say crush the head.
Yeah.
It's like my instinct. That's what I want to do. But describe a serpent.
I think sly.
Yeah.
Conniving.
I was going to say, let's just describe Satan. Deceitful.
Well, that would be the yeah. Satan side. Okay,
absolutely.
Let's do the good qualities of what you would recognize, because Jesus would never want us to have the
no.
negative.
No.
So
right.
what would be the good qualities that a serpent has? Okay. Go ahead.
Just trying to think of a snake.
Just knows what's going on. You know what I mean? I don't know what that.
They're like
a
hunter. Yeah, they're prepared.
Yeah.
Okay, they strike in defense.
Okay.
Which is a positive for us. That's what we need to do.
Okay.
You know, when we're called to.
They're also proactive. It's not just on the defense. They will strike in defense, but they're proactive. Mm-hmm. They will warn you. So we just took our RAs to Colorado, and we were hiking up in Golden, Colorado, 700 feet up this mountain. And as we're hiking, all of a sudden we hear this scream, and a whole bunch of people jump.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Okay. Yeah. We're hiking, and I mean, it's not like deathly steep, but it's still just, you know, we're hiking up a mountain. So, you know, we're trying to help each other, guide each other, keep each other safe. And so snake, rattlesnake. The rattlesnake went proactive. It doesn't want to get in the fight.
Oh.
It recognizes you are bigger than me. This is my territory.
It rattles to warn.
Get out.
Mm-hmm. And it warned us, stay away.
Mm. Yeah, they do warn before they strike.
That is a very good quality for us to remember. This is my territory. This is my flock. Let me warn you about my flock.
Mm. That's good.
That is a good quality for us to have.
I think it's also interesting that snakes are so small, but yet people are so scared of them. Like, they, but like, they're really not that into, like, even garter snakes. People are terrified of garter snakes. There's no reason to be scared of them.
Bugs,
snakes,
mice.
I don't mind so long as they don't strike, but rattlesnakes freak me out. But I think that it's interesting that,
you don't want to live in Valentine.
Yeah, no kidding.
A lot of them.
I think it's interesting that we can be intimidating, but not of our own strength. That we're small and not important, but God living through us is scary.
I love it. And
that's
that makes
good.
Me think there's a verse in Isaiah, I don't remember where it's at, but it says that God will use that which is small to change nations.
Mm-hmm. Think of David,
Rich?
Against
yes.
Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, he was small.
You prayed that for your foreign exchange student.
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. That he is used in the future. Also, when I was actually given that verse was when I was sent to Russia.
Mm.
And speaking in Russia amongst, I mean, it was just so terrifying for me. That trip was the hardest trip I've ever been on in my life. And I'm like, the whole trip was like, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? And he had given me that verse. And I stood up in this church and shared this message, and it's being interpreted by an interpreter, and I sit down and I'm covered in sweat. I am so nervous. My joints are just like, oh my goodness, I've given everything I have and I have no idea why I'm here, God, because I'm not really, you know, blah, whatever. And then their woman leader stood up and gave her message. And she said something to the interpreter. The interpreter comes, and we were sitting. We have no idea what's being said because they didn't have an interpreter from Russian to English, only English to Russian.
Wow.
And the interpreter comes walking down in front of all the women, all the way to the very back because we're at the very back of the church. And she touches me and says, come. And I'm petrified. What did I do? Did I mess up? How do you know? She walks me back up to the front of the church, and she said, I am asked to interpret for you so you can hear. And I'm like, okay. And the woman's leader, she said, she is American and I am Russian. She wrote this message because I had told them that God had given it to me 3 weeks prior to coming. God gave her this message 3 weeks prior to her coming. A month prior to her coming, God gave me this message, and I did not know it. He gave us the exact same passage.
Wow. Wow.
And it was that God can use that which is small to change nations.
Wow. Wow.
I was so broken. That, for me, was like the most profound thing to ever happen, that he can use that which is small, me, little old Tara from Omaha, Nebraska, to hear what he wanted to have said to a group of women in Nizhny Novgorod in Russia.
And they heard it twice.
And then to affirm it.
Right.
You know, through their woman's leader. And so for both of us, it was a profound moment. That is what Jesus is talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We need not worry, because he will give us the words that are needed at the time that we need it when we're seeking to proclaim his truth. Mm-hmm. It does not matter that the waves of persecution will come politically, religiously, or within our family. He will give us what we need. Mm-hmm. And so he gave them the animals as the visual to help them with it, but he gave them also the preparation to let them know what's coming, preparation to know what you have, and then the blessing to see what it would be that you will get the outcome. That blesses. Does that?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Knowing in advance is helpful.
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we can apply it today in our lives, right?
Right.
Right. So I'm wondering out there on radio land, those that are listening, wherever you might be, because this is in the Metroplex here in the United States. It's also on the Eastern Coast. And then we have over 120 countries that listen to this podcast. Mm-hmm. And we have no idea who you are, where you're at. And he wants you to be as innocent as a dove, but as wise as a serpent.
Right.
Yeah. Not to take the negative of what we know, because this is where we're redeeming God's creature. Mm-hmm. You know, and how we've given it a negative connotation, mm-hmm. but he wants us to take that which is the beauty of his creature and have that quality in our lives.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out the positive of the snake. I couldn't think the positive with the snake, so that's good to know.
And you know, and I think in a lot of times that we can have that, even with words, it's like everything created is of God and everything mm-hmm. good is of God. Mm-hmm. And so society can destroy a concept, a principle, a thought, or whatever. We need to redeem it back to right. what it is and right. what it's called to in holiness.
Yeah.
So now that as we're looking at this and thinking of the disciples and what they're being prepared for, they have no idea, do they?
No
idea nope. how they're going to use it. Do we mm-hmm. see the fulfillment of them living this out?
Absolutely.
All right, mm-hmm. give me one quick, because we only have less than a minute left. What would be one quick thing that we can think of that somebody in the Bible and the disciples use, the cunning and the innocence?
Oh, cunning and innocence.
Peter, right okay. away, right?
Yes, yes.
When he preaches?
Yeah.
They're taken, they're about to go, like, weren't they going into the courts and
yeah.
they were going to be sent to jail, and then God gives them the opportunity to speak to...
Was that 3,000 or 5,000 that day?
I think
first 3,000, then 5, or is it 5, then 3?
Yep.
I mean, it's wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And they were amazed at what was coming through his mouth. Mm-hmm. Like, who is this man? He's just he's not one of us. He's just an ordinary man. Yeah.
Uneducated
yes.
fisherman.
Yep.
And I think of Paul, all the things Paul did, you know, like when he was imprisoned.
Yes. And Silas, and they sing, and the jailer yes. and his whole household yes. comes to know the Lord. Amen. Yes. So we can already see the fulfillment of how it's happened. You need to come back next week so we can get into more details. God bless.